member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 23rd of January, Anno Domini 2010. And you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And on this hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, some things you can choose from the poll, and an artist named Toulouse. No, actually, we have nothing from Toulouse-Lautrec except, of course, his name. So we've done that part. I feel better now. Let's start with the fact that
And for the younger audience, who was Toulouse-Lautrec?
And that's why we have...
That's why we have Wikipedia.
Wikipedia. And Google.
Thank God for Google.
Of course, if you can spell Toulouse-Lautrec, you're ahead of the game already. It's one of the things I don't like about Wikipedia. It doesn't have the... Google at least has the did you mean thing, which sometimes is very wrong, but often enough at least is fairly right. So,
and even the things that thinks are wrong are kind of fun when you actually get there and see what it is.
Exactly. Oh, I didn't want to do that. Well, I've done it now. So here we go, and I will start with a news item.
As soon as you can bring the news up.
As soon as I can bring the news up. We don't have... It used to be we had like hours and hours at a time to get ready for the show, and now it's, you know, it's like a minute. All right, here we go. In Philip Kaplan's world, no credit card purchase is private. Not even the $70.06 sexy gift he bought from a gay-themed shop called Does Your Mother Know? He posted that transaction online. Kaplan is the co-founder of a new site called Blippi. On the site, which launched last week, people enter their credit card information, and Blippi automatically sends out short, public blips of information about what people are buying, including the prices of the items and where they were bought. It's like the financial version of Twitter, says Kaplan. The 34-year-old author of the book and former blog Effed Companies says it's going to change the way people think about privacy and money. While people now may be hesitant to talk about what they pay in rent or how much they spend on coffee, Kaplan says all purchases may soon be public. But what's the benefit and what are the dangers? When asked, what's the point of Blippi, Kaplan replied, and I quote, without getting too philosophical, I'll just start at the beginning. The big answer is we don't know, which I think is funny but also indicative of what we're trying to do. It wasn't actually me who came up with the idea. It was my co-founders, Ashwin Kumar and Chris Estrich. The question that Ash and Chris asked themselves was, well, what would happen if data that are traditionally private, like credit card data, become public? Or the other way to ask it is, what happens if everybody knew what everybody else was paying for everything? His thought is that consumers have never had the benefit of just knowing how much everybody else paid for stuff. When you go down to, say, the local gym and you say you want a membership, they say how much the membership costs. You actually have no idea of what the actual membership costs or what your friends paid or what somebody else paid, just what they tell you the price is. It's kind of like, you know, going to a gas station but having no idea what other gas stations are charging for gas. Currently, posting is automatic. Typically, what people do is they connect their credit card to Blippi, and then whatever you buy just shows up. So, you know, you go to a restaurant or a bagel for lunch or, you know, just buying gas or whatever. You use your credit card, and everybody knows that. They call it personal. They call it passive sharing, and they think it's going to be a trend. So our question to you, the poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Is what do you think of Blippi? And the choices are brilliant, it's a joke, right? And no way, no how. So far, 45 people have voted, and 93% of you think it's either a joke or no way, no how. 7% of you apparently think it's brilliant. Now, I know that you're going to have a whole lot more to say about Blippi than just clicking a button on a form. So underneath the poll, you will see a yellow box in which it says, give us your opinion. If you click on that link, it takes you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
Where you can enter your opinion. Keep it clean, please. I'm hating this mouse more and more every day. All right, there we go.
Now, Facebook tried something like this a little bit ago, but disguised it as ads. You know, you buy something through your Facebook account, all of your friends get an ad saying that you bought this thing. And it looks like you are endorsing that thing and telling your friends about it when it was really an ad. And they got in trouble for that, and I think they've stopped doing it.
But I don't know.
Yeah, but you can. And there were some interesting stories about someone who bought a engagement ring for his girlfriend, and she didn't know he was going to propose, and found out because she was following his Facebook feed. And right. So gifts for people. It's strange. In fact, looking at the Blippi page now, it's somebody spent $0 at Netflix. Somebody spent $0 at Netflix. Somebody spent $0 at iTunes. Clara spent 0 kroner at iTunes.
Wow, 0 kroner.
Yeah.
And you're supposed
Then Clara spent 7 kroner at iTunes.
And you're supposed to care why?
You know what? I don't know that I got.
And it actually says what they're buying. So it's kind of interesting. But
no, it isn't interesting. It's interesting if you want to be nosy into the lives of other people. Well, but you know what? I don't want somebody saying, right. Oh, look, Nick just bought, you know, whatever he bought, and then let's go to his house and steal it.
Right. See, you're too old. See, it's the younger, even I'm too old for this. Now, it's the young kids put everything on Facebook, everything on Twitter. And
they have no sense of privacy.
Right, they have no sense of privacy. And then they're surprised when their parents find out that they're sneaking off to the bar because they put it on their Twitter feed.
Right. Kids are sometimes not as bright as you might think, apparently.
As soon as they decide they want to go job hunting. And what was that last week? 90% of employers look at Facebook to evaluate potential employees. You know, so if you did anything stupid in your youth, which everyone did, but you used to be able to hide it pretty well. You know, nowadays it's all over the internet because you put it on your Twitter, you put it on your Facebook. Someone snapped a picture of it,
right?
And you don't get the job because of that stupid thing you did.
Right. And I'll tell you what, though, I have I keep telling people this all the time. You know, when I was their age, I did some amazingly stupid things. Some of them dangerous, some of them downright illegal.
Yep.
But there were no video cameras.
Right.
There were, you know, nobody knows I did them. And so you can't prove it. So get away. But yeah, so that's so at any rate, we want to know what you think of the idea of Blippi. Please give us a call and tell us what you think of Blippi. Are you going to put all your purchases on the internet and let everyone know what you're buying? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And we're going to go to our first caller, who is Jack. Where are you calling from, Jack?
I'm calling from exit 16 on the New York Thruway.
That's a long way away.
I'm in New York.
Where?
Harriman? Harriman. Harriman.
Nice. All right, and what can we do for you, Jack?
Two questions you have, if you have time. The
sure.
First one regards an issue with Thunderbird. I installed it on a laptop for someone. It sends and receives email perfectly using the wireless card or a wired connection, but when I use a cellular USB card, it receives, but it will not send. Unfortunately, I don't remember the exact error message, but there is an error message that pops up.
That's actually very common because you're connecting to a different internet service provider when you're on the cell card. Most internet service providers, that's real notorious here in Rochester with Frontier, you cannot send mail except if you're a subscriber of that service. So if I go to someone's house and I have Roadrunner at home and I go to their house with my laptop and try to send mail, I can't because they have Frontier. I'm not a Frontier subscriber. It will not send mail. So when you're using your cellular service, you need to change your sending mail server to the mail server of that ISP. And it's a horrible pain because then you have, when you get back home to your home ISP, you have to change your sending server back to your home ISP. Some people have worked around that by using Gmail as a intermediate server. So you sign up for a free Gmail account, and then you configure your computer to always send mail through the Gmail server instead of whatever ISP you happen to be connected to. But even in that case, some ISPs will block it, and Frontier is a big one in Rochester. If you're connected to Frontier, you must be a Frontier customer, and you must use the Frontier mail server to send mail. And so that's a very common problem when you're traveling with a laptop connecting to different service providers.
That does make sense, because this guy actually lived in Jersey and then moved into New York, kept his old email from one provider. When I set it up, I had to do incoming as one provider and outgoing as the other.
Right, your outgoing mail server.
I never changed it for the cellular card.
Yep, yeah, the outgoing mail server has to be the service you're connecting to.
Okay, you would think when he called AT&T that they would have been able to provide that answer for him.
They may have asked him what his sending mail server was sent to, and they may have just assumed that since he was calling an AT&T account, he had it set to the AT&T server.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes you can get around that. The typical sending server uses port 25. Sometimes you can get around that by using port 587, but not always.
All right. Well, that gives me something to work on then.
Yeah.
I think with Gmail, you can have POP3 come into Gmail, correct?
Yes. It will do POP, but...
So he could use Gmail, which is web-based, and then he'd be able to send and receive through that.
Right. One of the big niceties with Gmail is that when you use IMAP, all of your mail, your incoming mail, stays at the Gmail server. So you can check your mail with a web page wherever you go. And then so instead of using a mail client like Thunderbird, you just log into the Gmail web page. And that's how most ISPs do it themselves, Frontier, Time Warner, you know, all the different ISPs. They have their own web mail. So when you're at somebody's house, you log into your, for example, your Frontier account using Frontier webmail, and you can send and receive mail normally because you're using the web now and not technically, you know, the POP and SMTP servers. But it's frustrating with a laptop you're already using a mail client with that, you know, you just want to be able to send your mail like you normally do, and that has become an issue. Some people will set up a separate account that has a different sending server for whatever service they're connected to at the moment.
Okay.
I know the Apple Mail program, not completely familiar with Thunderbird, but I know in Apple Mail you can have multiple sending servers for every email address you have, and you can tell it which sending server to use at any time.
I'd probably have to set up a separate profile in Thunderbird. And so you'd have same user, same outgoing, but incoming rather, but different outgoing.
Well, yeah, check your existing profile and see if it lets you add a second sending server to that existing profile. And that would be a lot easier. Then you don't have to worry about two inbound profiles, too.
Right. Do you have time for one more question?
Sure.
Okay. It's with regards to a Toshiba Satellite Pro laptop that I upgraded from Vista to Windows 7, and the problem that I'm having is the internal speakers now do not work, but if you plug in external speakers, it does work.
That's weird. First thought would be the sound driver, but then it should be...
That was the first thing I thought of, and the drivers are correct.
Yeah, and it should be both of them shouldn't work or both of them should work.
Yeah, but did you look for any drivers, though, for updates to the motherboard?
Yeah, it may be a motherboard resource.
I went to Toshiba's site and got the drivers directly from them.
For the motherboard? Because that's what you're working on.
If you go to the motherboard site, I went to Toshiba, I would assume that they've got the drivers.
Well, yeah, but oftentimes the manufacturers will segregate it. So you go to that specific Toshiba model, and then there'll be motherboard drivers, sound drivers, Ethernet drivers, video drivers. Sometimes it's called chipset drivers, not motherboard drivers.
Exactly.
I did get all the chipset drivers. That I know I did.
Yeah,
and
chipset and audio should work.
I did try it with a Linux boot CD, and the internal speakers do work. I just wanted to confirm.
So it's a Windows issue. Yeah, it's a Windows issue.
For wiring.
You might. It's possible that one of the wires came loose on the inside, but that's not likely.
No.
I would go through your sound.
The
Yeah, I'd go through the sound control panel and make sure that nothing is muted, because I've seen that happen accidentally. Somehow your sound gets muted to the internal speakers, and then you can't hear the internal speakers, but you plug an external speaker in, and it reroutes it to the externals. So that's something to try also.
Okay.
Alrighty. I think we lost him, too. His cell signal was getting a little... I heard a tire screech there, too. So.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be good. We see that a lot. I always cringe when somebody says they've upgraded from Vista to Windows 7. My thing is always, I tell people always, do not upgrade. What you really want to do is you want to install fresh, because there are... Vista in particular has so many possibilities for a problem in the registry that when you move over to Windows 7, that problem just comes with you, and there's not really a lot you can do about that. You know, you really need a clean registry. So my suggestion to everybody is do not upgrade from Vista. Vista just had Vista's the ME of the 21st century.
There's two options. There's an upgrade in place, which brings over all the problems. And then there's a, what do they call it? It's not clean upgrade, or it's the other upgrade that basically replaces your old OS with the new OS. And that's the one you want.
You know, you're going through the frustration anyways to put everything back into it. You know, you're going to have to reinstall the software anyway. So since you're doing that, why not just have a clean operating system also? Because, you know, you're just alleviating a lot of headaches. And that's the one thing we've been telling folks. You know, let's just wipe it and start fresh.
And also for Jack, I just checked on the Mac version of Thunderbird, and you can have multiple SMTP servers per account. So that will help you when you're on your cell card.
Right. And particularly try the new Thunderbird. There's a 3.0 version that's just come out, so give that a shot. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you on the longest-running computer show in the universe. That's Soundbites right here on the great member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Soundbites, celebrating 20 years.
All avant-garde blues, boogie-woogie, barrel house, clapping, calypso, disco, drone, experimental, electronics, feedback, flamenco, gamelan, gospel, hymns, harmoniums, independent improvisations, invocations, jazz, jigs, kazoos, kotos, litanies, LPs, microtones, marimbas, meditations, major, minor, new, old, polyrhythms, pop, quick steps, quadrilles, ragas, reggae, resonances, sound sculptures, soul, tabla, tango, upbeat, vibraphones, vinyl, wax, wah-wah, xylophone, yodeling, zydeco, zithers. 1, 2, 3, foreground music. Member-supported Jazz 90.1, Sundays 3 to 5 in the afternoon.
When I was a kid, when I was listening to the radio all the time, it was like a portal to the world for me. You know, I grew up in a small town in Georgia, and you know, it's like a connection to the outside world, you know, was a special thing.
New artist Tim Brantley loves radio because it connects every day. Radio, always on, always free, always something new. Go to radioheardhere.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Harris. Join me every Sunday night from 5 to 7 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 21 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Before we... We have somebody on the phone right now. We have Tom. Tom, where are you calling from? Now I got the toll... I'm good now.
I told you last week about booting up a Dell computer.
Yep. Tom, where are you calling from?
NARC.
NARC.
N-E-W-A-R-K.
Right.
Well, I followed your instructions, and I got to the part where it says recovery console will repair your windows.
Right. You want to skip that repair and go to the next repair.
Yeah, well, I did that too. And the first one, it said I had to have a command to do it.
Right. The recovery console brings up a command prompt, like a DOS window, and lets you type the commands to recover the stuff.
I called Dell, and they typed it in. And it says I'm denied access to this disk. So he automatically transferred me to a supervisor, and a supervisor says I can't use this disk unless I pay another year's support, tech support.
What disk?
Yeah.
Yeah, my disk isn't a Microsoft. It's a Dell disk.
The disk
came with the computer.
The original disk that came with the computer. Yeah, that's very common. When you buy a computer, you're given so many days, months, years, whatever, of technical support.
Yeah, mine's over because it's 6 years.
Right, and when that expires, you need to...
But they wanted $200.
Right, and that extends your warranty.
Yeah, so
but you don't want to use that recovery console anyway. You have to type arcane commands. You have to know what to type. You have to know exactly what files are missing so you can extract them from cabs. It's very difficult.
Well,
so you skip that first recovery and go to the second repair.
And then I got a whole page full of stuff.
On the second recovery or the first?
The second one, when I went through the way you told me to go to the enter and then... they ask you whether you accept it or not, and I got a page full of stuff, and it says the Windows has shut down my computer to save it.
So it sounds like there's something wrong with your Windows install, and it can't be recovered. You're going to have to
show the stop thing with some numbers.
Right.
Does that mean anything to you?
Something is really broken, and you need to reinstall Windows fresh.
Yeah, it sounds like either your hard drive. It sounds to me like your hard drive is not healthy at all, or something else truly physical has gone wrong with your machine. So I'm afraid you're going to have to take it to a repair place and let them take a...
In other words, if I bought a new XP disk, I couldn't install it.
No, I don't think it has anything to do with the disk, and I think it has everything to do with the hardware.
Okay, now, could you tell me how expensive are XP disks? I was just curious.
Brand new full version CD, you're probably looking... about $150. Is it Pro or Home?
Yeah.
But wait a minute.
XP Home is like $200, $199, and Pro is $299.
Wait a minute, though. Do you have, the back of your machine or on the side, is there a sticker with the key code on it?
I got the key code on the disk.
Is there a key code on the side of the machine?
They may have left it on the disk sleeve,
on the
machine.
No, the disk had a label. It's got Windows key code.
Yeah, the 25-digit code.
Yeah, as long as you've got that, you don't need to buy another one. Like Nick said, you just need your hardware looked at and have it reinstalled by professionals.
Yeah, it really, I personally wouldn't.
Something that I can't do myself.
Well, you could try erasing the hard drive and see if that works, but it sounds like something's going wrong with the hard drive.
When I go to the enter and go past the reception, I get this page full of stuff.
Right. Before that comes up, it asks if you want to delete the partition. When it asks you what partition you want to put it on, you can...
It comes up before it asks you.
Right. I'm telling you, the problem is not software. Don't even bother with that disk anymore. The problem is hardware. You need to replace the hard drive.
Yeah.
I don't know that you're going to be able to recover anything from that hard drive because it sounds like it's gone. If I were you, I would. I hope you've got good backups, but I don't think.
I got a second hard drive in there. I told you last week, a D drive.
Well, yeah.
Everything's on there.
You hope.
I have a C and a D hard drive.
All right. Well, then make sure the one you replace is the C drive, and make sure that when you put in the new one, you know which one you're formatting. My suggestion in a situation like that is always unplug the D drive.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, so that you make sure that the only one that it's that.
Everything.
Right.
Yeah, well, I have another question, if you got a minute.
Quickly.
I talked to HP about buying a computer, and they do not send any Windows 7 disks to you.
Right, a lot of the computers ask you to make your own disks. The first time you turn it on, there'll be a, they call it make your own recovery disks.
Recovery disk, and usually it takes about anywhere from 2 to 3 DVDs.
Yeah, it saves them a couple of dollars at their end.
Hard drive?
What?
Can you install it on an external hard drive?
No, because it's not an installation. It's just a bootable. It's designed to be a bootable CD.
And so
it's
You could.
Yeah, I suppose you could, well, but you, I don't know well, that could, what you would gain from that.
You could manually clone your brand new drive onto another drive and then sit it on a shelf as an emergency
like
recovery.
Well, when I've been backing up, it doesn't back up Windows.
Right, so you'd need to run another type of cloning program to clone your hard drive onto a new hard drive so that you had that original Windows setup as if it came right from the factory.
But you can clone the Windows 7 on a disk or a hard drive when you get the computer.
You can do that with any operating system.
At any time.
But it requires both an external hard drive and a separate program to do the cloning. Frankly, it's a whole lot cheaper to just buy a few DVDs with your new machine.
They won't sell them to you.
No. Listen to me. Blank DVDs, and then...
You won't sell it to me.
You buy blank?
I'm sorry, Tom. Tom?
Hang on.
Yes.
I said blank DVDs.
At any store.
Well, I got blank DVDs.
And then when you buy that new machine and you put the new machine together, one of the things that it will allow you to do is to make your own copy.
Okay, that's what he said something about that.
Right,
the guy
right.
The
and
computer.
Then what you do is you click that icon or say yes to that prompt, put your blank DVD in, make sure you have about three or four of them handy because it may take more than one, and
it's
then
be a
it
DVD.
Will. In the, what?
A DVD.
Right, a blank DVD, a burnable DVD.
Yes.
Obviously, now that means you're going to buy your machine with a DVD burner in it.
Yeah, I got that.
And so then it will ask you, do you want to create a backup copy of Windows? And you say yes, and it will actually create those boot disks for you.
Or you just get a different model that comes with disks.
Yeah. Or you don't buy HP, right. That's the other choice.
It's an HP. I already bought it.
Well, then you just go through the steps. It walks you through. It tells you, first put in DVD. I just did one just yesterday, and it first tells you, all right, put in DVD 1. It'll go through the whole process. It'll say done. Now put in disc 2 or DVD 2, and you'll just label them as they are completed.
And it'll tell you what to label them. And then you put those away, keep them safe and handy, and you'll be good. Okie doke?
Okay, I have one more question. If I bring this
we already gave you two, and we took a lot of time, Tom. We got to move on.
Okay.
We got more people waiting on the line. I'm sorry. Thank you very much.
I'll call you back some other time.
All right, please.
Thanks. All right.
I think he was starting to say if he brings his first computer into a shop like Dave or I's or in any reputable shop,
certainly they can take a look and see what happens.
Find out what's
wrong. We can't guarantee anything at this point. It could just be a dead hard drive. Could be the motherboard's hard drive controller.
I was having a problem with a machine last week where it was giving a stop error on boot. So I did the Windows repair install, and the keyboard and mouse wouldn't work. When I get to the page where it says pick your language, no keyboard, no mouse. But it worked fine in BIOS, and it works fine when I boot another disk, just not when I got to Windows. I had to do a full Windows install to get the keyboard and mouse to work.
How weird is that?
Very, very weird. I'm thinking, okay, driver issue. So I plugged it. I had a PS2 keyboard and a USB keyboard both connected, and those drivers are so core to Windows, even though it was a HP brand PC. The PS2 drivers are so core; they should have been there.
Yeah, right. You would think
really
so.
Really weird.
All right, our next caller is Tom from Hilton, New York. Welcome, Tom. What's your question?
Well, I'm thinking buying a new computer and. As I look at them, all the data is very hard to compare. It's got such and such a CPU in it and that. And for me, that's a little confusing. I can understand how much disk drive I have and how much memory I have.
Yep, there's dozens of different CPUs from several different companies. They all have different ratings. They all have different speeds. Some of them will... exaggerate, I think, is the right word. Their clock speed, but clock speed isn't really the key factor it used to be. The number of cores per processor, the size of the cache is a better thing. So you can go through even on an Intel, say Intel Core 2 processor. There's half a dozen different models of Core 2, each with different cache, each with different clock speeds, and it is very hard and very confusing to compare different computers.
Is there any place that where they're rated or how I can tell? Because I mean, I take a look at them. I was in the store and
there's almost nothing. I don't know of any place that makes it easy. There's a site called Tom's Hardware, tomshardware.com, that rates a lot of stuff, but it's not designed for a beginner. Uh-huh. It's designed, I mean, it certainly doesn't hurt to look at the reviews.
Uh-huh.
But
uh-huh.
it's mostly designed for people who really already know what they're talking about.
And is this something you want to build yourself?
No, no, I'm looking at them in the store. Mm-hmm. And they have all these different...
Yeah, that's sort of where you want to rely on the salesperson to know the difference and be able to explain it to you.
And you know,
if you can't find it at one store, you go to a different store.
Yeah, you have them take the time. That's why I like to sit down with folks and say, okay, what the heck are you going to do with this? I'm not going to sell you a Cadillac when you only need a mid-sized car.
Yeah, that's basically it. You know, I do quite a bit of photo editing and that sort of thing. And
yeah. Well, you want
so you may need a little higher processor for photo editing, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and my suggestion, Tom, is that you go to Dave or Steve,
uh-huh.
sit down with them, and let them tell you what talk you through it. Do the thing like Dave said. They'll sit down and figure out what you need to do and everything else, and they can put a configuration together for you, build the machine for you, sell it to you, and you're on your way, knowing you've got not only an excellent machine, but somebody you can rely on when it comes time to fix it and deal with all of that.
All right. And in the meantime, what was that other site? Tom's?
Tom'sHardware.com.
Okay, thanks.
Okie doke.
Yep.
Thanks, Tom.
You can find reviews and comparisons at like PCMag.com or CNET.com. But I've never found a comprehensive enough review of everything current. Yeah, you know, so even at Tom's Hardware, you'll find reviews of all the machines, but you know, it's very hard to find a comparison of
the different Northbridge
now.
Chips and all
right.
of that nonsense.
And the fact that the PCs change every 5 minutes, that you know the thing they reviewed yesterday has been changed today.
Right. All right, our next caller is Harvey. Where are you calling from, Harvey?
Webster, New York.
Webster, New York. Is life indeed worth living there for you?
Pretty much so.
Excellent.
Haven't had any reason to have any sharp objects close by.
Yeah. What can we do for you, Harvey?
Actually, you touched on it a little bit before, but I wanted to just ask another one or two questions about it, and that is going from Windows XP to 7. I bought a computer this fall before Windows 7 came out, and they installed XP on it, and they gave me the disk for
Vista.
And I didn't do anything with that. And then they also sent me just recently another disk going to Windows 7.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I'm wondering, you know, my concern is, of course, at some point Windows XP isn't going to be supported and that. But and there's also more capability. The computer that I bought is pretty capable, and I think I've heard at least that you really can't get the full capability without maybe going to 7. So I've got both disks. Is it worth it to – do I need to do a double install to install it?
No, you can go right from XP to 7.
Questions.
You can go right from XP to 7, but like I said, we don't really recommend doing that. The problem, again, is the registry. If you've used XP for any length of time, you're probably going to find that something in the registry is not 100%. And while that may not be a problem in XP, it could conceivably be a very big problem in Windows 7. So our suggestion is always to do a fresh install on Windows 7. Now, that means mm-hmm. that you'll have to reinstall all the programs that you use. But if you've got all those original disks as well, then it shouldn't be much of a problem.
Okay, but if I were to do that and then, you know, take off all my data and on all the programs and all that on an external hard drive or something along those lines, would I just use the second disk that they sent me?
Yes, just go right from XP to Windows 7.
Yep.
Go right that way.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
And is there any date as far as when they're going to make a decision if they're going to continue with XP? Would you say it's worth going to 7? You know,
I would.
Well,
yeah,
you should absolutely go to 7. They've already killed Windows XP. How many times? 4 now at least.
Yeah.
And they keep bringing it back. It's like the Lazarus of operating systems. But I wouldn't trust it to continue to be brought back.
And like I'm you were saying yourself, though, Harvey, you know, you've got the capabilities. Why not use it?
Right.
You know, I mean, you're all dressed up to go to the party. Why not go to the party?
So I would just take the second disk they sent me. It's called a companion disk for Windows 7. Upgrade media and just plug that in. And
oh, wait a minute.
Oh, yeah.
The Windows 7 disk says it's an upgrade disk?
Yes, it does.
He can still do it.
Yeah,
I mean,
you have to upgrade from XP. They could have been nasty and made it upgrade from Vista.
Yeah, but
try it first and see what happens.
If you're doing a fresh install, what you do is you do a fresh install, and at some point it'll say
put in the original
Vista disk or whatever.
Yep.
I see.
And then you just put in that disk and you should be on your way, or your original XP disk.
Okay, but how long does that take, the process?
Depends.
It's not, you know, how fast is your machine, how much RAM do you have, how big is the hard drive, yada, yada, yada. It's not an afternoon.
Set aside a day.
Set aside a day. Set aside a couple of hours. A
couple of hours then, okay. Okay.
All right?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Yeah, you know, we get that question a lot, and the answer remains the same. We just can't honestly say it enough. The reality is we have no confidence in a Windows 7 upgrade. We just don't.
And Windows XP Service Pack 2 support ends 13 July 2010. Service Pack 1 has already ended. Service Pack 3 support ends 24 months after the next service pack or when it ends.
Say that again?
Yes. Windows Service Pack 3 was released 21 April 2008. Support ends 24 months after the next service pack release or at the end of the product's life cycle, whichever comes first.
Yeah, right.
So it ends when it ends.
Right.
Nice. Very
no,
nice.
No specific
and
date.
And I think they had to do that because, like I said, it's the Lazarus of operating systems.
Yeah.
They killed it and brought it back, killed it and brought it back. It's the only Windows operating system that runs credibly on small netbooks.
Right. They expected it to end when Vista came out, and it couldn't. And then they said it was going to end when 7 came out, and it couldn't.
I've run Vista on a netbook. If you spend $800 or $900 on the netbook,
yep,
you know, and have several gig of RAM and a dual core processor and yada yada yeah, yada, it'll run okay.
So it's at least 2 years, which is April 21st of this year is 2 years since SP3 was released,
right,
for XP.
Right. So I don't know what to say about that, but I don't believe netbooks are really designed for Windows 7. XP runs fine on them. Linux, of course, flies on them. But I don't know that I have to. I can't be excited about Windows 7 on a netbook. All right, we're going to take a quick break. If you're on the line, please stay on the line. If you're not on the line, why not? Give us a call. You know the numbers, 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you on the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Celebrating 20 years on air, Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 apparel is available online. Whether it's a long or short sleeve t-shirt, half zip fleece, hooded sweatshirt, or baseball cap that you're looking for, you'll find it at the Jazz 90.1 online store at jazz901.org.
People are keeping their teeth longer than ever before. That means everyone, including senior citizens, need to practice good oral hygiene for their teeth and their health. Seniors need to be aware of signs of periodontal disease, like receding or swollen gums. During dental checkups, your dentist will check for any signs of oral cancer, such as discoloration or swelling on your throat, lips, or tongue. Early detection of cancer can mean a much better chance for a full recovery. Eat a balanced diet, brush twice daily with a fluoride toothpaste, and floss or use an interdental cleaner daily. Consider quitting the use of tobacco. Tobacco usage is associated with an increased risk of oral cancer, periodontal disease, and other oral health conditions. Regular dental maintenance can help keep you and your smile healthy and young-looking. For the ADA Dental Minute, I'm Dr. Maria Lopez Howell. For more information, visit our website at ada.org.
The Pitside Room, Ship's Paradise, The Cotton Club, Shalimar, Jinx and Jones, Indigo's, Ben Keaton's, The Oak Tree Lounge, Top of the Plaza, Round Towner, The Pine Grill, The Glass Onion. Those are places that we all loved, but they're really not in the past. The doctor keeps them from being just a memory. Hi, I'm Paul Kiley. Join me every Monday morning from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. following the Spectrum for Jazz Overnight on your member-supported 24-hour jazz station, Jazz 90.1 and Jazz 901.org.
The next time you rearrange that messy closet, why not set aside time to put your financial house in order as well? There are steps that can save you money and prevent hassles in the future. Make sure your credit report is accurate. Clean up bad credit by paying bills on time and paying down balances. And dispose of all unnecessary documents by shredding them. For more tips, call the National Foundation for Credit Counseling today at 800-388-2227 or visit them at nfcc.org, a public service from the NFCC.
Hi, I'm Linda Wildman. Please join me middays, 10 to noon on Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Before we go back to the phones, however, I'd like to do my little mini rant, if I may.
Go for it.
Yesterday at lunch, and I will not mention the person's name or where I had lunch, but he comes up to me after lunch and says, "Hey, how come you guys aren't on the air anymore?"
Huh?
And I said, "Well, we are. We're now on," and I said, "WGMC." He said, I don't know where that is. It's 90.1, Jazz 90.1. So Jazz 90.1, the Polka Bandstand is on that. I listen to it every week. we're on right after it.
And they say coming up next.
Apparently he listens, but he hears, but doesn't actually listen. Or what, the other way around, whatever
background
that is.
Music.
Yeah, exactly. So and you know who you are. I'm not going to mention your name on the air. I'm just not going to do it, but you know who you are, and I hope you're getting as big a chuckle out of that as I do. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Scott. Where are you calling from, Scott?
I'm calling from Buffalo.
Oh, Scott, how are you?
Well, known as Bon Vivre.
Yes, indeed.
In any case, I'm here trying to delete or reformat a hard drive of my wife's. It's an external hard drive, and I keep getting a message saying, "Operation cannot be completed. Error code minus 50. I'm sorry, this is a Mac. This is an iMac operating 10.6.
And you're using Disk Utility to do the erase?
Yes, Disk Utility is right. It won't even let me take one file and delete it. I tried deleting, tried to erase a single file. Won't let anything happen.
Are you doing this on her machine?
Yes, I'm on her machine right now.
Is she logged? Are you logged in as her ID?
Yes, I believe I am. Actually, I don't know.
And
I assume I am. She logged me in, so.
Is she an administrator?
Yes, she's an administrator for her own machine.
See, those were all the wrong answers, Bon Vivre. We could have, had you given us any no's in there, we would have said, "Well, there's your problem."
Right.
But no, yet he goes all yes answers.
Have you tried running the repair permissions inside Disk Utility?
No, I did not try that.
Yeah, usually when things like that happen, it's a permission error. It thinks you don't have permission to see that file or to do whatever you want to that file. And oftentimes the permission check can fix those problems. And also the directory check may help too. Now, is this a external hard drive or an internal hard drive?
External C drive.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a problem. I have seen some cases where it won't format because it's in use and it can't unmount it. Inside of Disk Utility, there should be an unmount checkbox, or you can drag the disk icon to the trash to unmount it. And it may tell you there's a file in use, and that's why it can't do the erase.
I see. All right, So what do I do if I eject it or try to unmount it, and when I put it back in, does it start using the same file?
It shouldn't, no. But one of the things you can do is when you can unmount it without completely ejecting it, so Disk Utility will still know that it's there. It's just unmounted, and then you can do the erase right inside Disk Utility.
Now, I see unmountable now, so I just...
Yeah. And error negative 50 is a generic error in parameter list, so it doesn't really help much.
Right.
Error messages almost never help.
No, it's true. If you're the person who wrote the error message, maybe it means something to you. But for the rest of us, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Right. It says it could not be unmounted, so there must be something it thinks is running on there.
Right. You can try rebooting and see if that helps. You may even have to boot in safe mode so that it doesn't load any third-party drivers. May be trying to access it. Is it by any chance set up as a Time Machine backup drive? You know, Time Machine.
I think it was at one point, but we're not using it that way now.
Yeah, there may still be an open file left over from the last Time Machine backup.
I see. Okay. So let me understand. I reboot the entire machine after turning this turn off the entire machine and then turn off the external hard drive.
Right. Then boot the computer, turn on the hard drive, and theoretically at that point there'll be no files in use because it's just turning on, and Disk Utility should be able to erase it then.
Great. Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Right.
Because I know that marital discord results.
Yeah.
When the wife says, I need this done, and you say, I don't know what I'm doing.
If we don't see him in the forms.
I get, which is not appreciated.
Well, I was going to say, if we don't see you in the forums or in Second Life, we know to send out a search team.
Yeah, please. Thank you.
Have a good one. Good old Bonnie.
That's Bon Vibra from our forums and from Second Life. You see him there regularly. He's one of the people who, along with Dee, runs the areas around the Artsy Fartsy Gallery. He does some amazing things. He creates beautiful clothing and some great avatars. So he's an artist in his own right over there. All right, our next caller is Art. Where are you calling from, Art?
Hi, I'm calling from Rochester.
Rochester, New York, hub of civilization in the Western world. You're our first call from Rochester itself this week. That's good. You know, we're on our sixth call, and it's the first guy from Rochester. What can we do for you, Art?
I just had a question about data recovery. Like, it sounded like from a few callers ago, you weren't really high on it about a failed hard drive. So I just had questions about that.
There are a few programs you can buy that can attempt to recover data from a failed hard drive, but it all depends on how it's failed. If it's a mechanical failure, if it's a block failure. There's a great tool called SpinRite.
Well, the first thing is if it'll even spin up.
Yeah, if it doesn't spin up, all bets are lost pretty much anyway. There's a program called SpinRite that can refresh all the blocks on a drive, and that can help some problems. I use a program called Data Rescue that scans the hard drive looking for files. And then there's always commercial data recovery services. I work with one called Drive Savers, where they actually have a clean room and spacesuits, and they take the drive apart and literally look at every bit on the drive, bit by bit, to reconstruct the data possible. But generally, you're looking at several thousand dollars to do that.
Okay.
Sometimes you can have luck, you know, depending on where the problem lies, if it's the controller card on the hard drive. If you can find an exact model hard drive with exactly the same controller card, you can swap controller cards, but that's often very hard to do because of different firmware revisions in those controller cards.
Yeah.
Talk about data recovery. You know what I had to do this week?
Hmm.
Paula, I literally saved this one guy's bacon.
Well, let's hold off on that story until we're done with our...
A better thing is to have a backup ahead of time. Then you don't have to worry about
recovery.
Well,
that's what I was going to lead to. This guy that I helped save data, though, again, it was one of these situations where, you know, didn't do the backups. And we can't preach enough.
Yeah. Photos of the baby who's now a year old. And
you're right.
You got to back up. I know it's a pain in the butt for most folks. You know, and I know you're probably kicking yourself, you know, in the butt, too, because shoulda, woulda, coulda, ain't going to bring it back.
Recent things. I had my old pictures and files back up, but not the recent things.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Tell you what, there's one, I'm trying to think, what was it, Conan, was it, or... There's a free program. There's a couple free programs which
Steve's got on last week's list.
So, which I would highly recommend. And if you have an external hard drive or even a flash drive, that what you can do with this free program, and Steve will pull it up in a minute, is literally leave your computer on, turn the monitor off, and have it automatically back up every night for you.
Okay.
You know, it does it in the background. This way you don't ever have to worry that, oh, shoot, yeah, those are great pictures, and now they're gone.
Was one.
And like Steve said, it's going to cost you a couple $1,000.
Cobian is one. Bacula is one.
Yes, Cobian is a very good one. I've used it a number of times. Remember, I got it. So it backs up my server every night.
Uh-huh.
It's a freebie.
On the Mac, you have a Time Machine, which is built into System 10.5 and later for automatic backup. Most of the recovery programs, I know that Data Rescue does, has a free download where it will scan your drive and tell you if it can recover anything, and then you have to pay to actually do the recovery.
Yeah, but you have to have it set up externally at that point, right? Because it's an internal hard drive, so you'd have to get a setup.
Well, you'd have to have a separate boot drive to be able to scan your internal drive.
Yep. But like I say, it's a cheap insurance, it's a free program, and I mean, you can get terabyte hard drives now for around $100 or so.
Which, ironically, is the cost of most of these recovery programs, about $100 each.
Yeah. So, yeah, try that.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Art. Yeah, it's everybody needs to think about it. When I send out my newsletter, one of the things I always say is it back up today?
Yeah, I meant to get to it. And it's always, we hear stories about people who did buy an external hard drive and they backed up most things, but then they put something on the external hard drive because it didn't fit on their internal. Well, then it's not a backup drive anymore and you don't have it backed up.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right.
I mean, I have to get a second drive? Yes. You need a second copy or a third or a fourth, at least a second copy of all your stuff just in case something goes wrong because you know it will.
Right. All right, our next caller is Cindy. Where are you calling from, Cindy?
Queensbury,
New York.
Wow.
Do you actually know where it is?
I have no idea.
I border Lake George on the south.
I was going to say, yeah, I thought that's where it was from because I go up there every year.
Good for you.
I go up to Americade.
Queensbury began as a Quaker settlement in 1763.
Good for you.
Steve looked it up on the internet. It's not like he had that in his head. The only thing Steve has in his head is the address of Google. That is it.
Yeah, but that impressed her. We could have, you know.
Yeah, I blew Steve in. I should have let him go on. So what can we do to make you a happy woman, Cindy?
Okay. I have a new laptop early December. It has Windows 7, and it has Windows Media Player 12. Now, I have a desktop from 07 that has XP and a Windows Media Player, but I have no idea what version it is. I've looked and I can't find it. The XP version has this wonderful recently added folder in the library. So I download things every hour. I download the NPR News Summary every hour, and wow, if I hang on to things, they filter down into the songs and the artists and all that.
Right.
But in this Windows Media Player 12, it doesn't seem to have that. So I constantly have to page through, you know, four page downs of stuff to get to the stuff I want. Am I just missing this recently added in 12, or did they think that that was not a good idea and they got rid of it?
You may have to create that folder yourself. In Windows Media Player, there should be a way to make new folders. I know in iTunes they call it a smart folder.
I made a new folder called Keepers, and I can't get it to show up in Windows Media Player. It shows when I go through what used to be my documents, you know, my computer, which now they call everything a library, which really is a bad idea.
Did you make that folder on the desktop, or did you make it in Windows Media Player?
Well, I tried making it in Windows Media Player, but it doesn't, you know, I went to Tools, Library, Music, add a new folder, but it doesn't show up there. And a guy in the forums, in the Windows 7 forums, he said he fooled with it for a couple of hours, and he could not get it to show up.
Yeah, it doesn't. They did take it out.
Added,
yeah, they did take it out, and it's a horrible thing. But you can create an automatic playlist. And in that, one of the things that you can do with an automatic playlist is say all the songs I've added in the last, say, X days.
Yeah, iTunes calls that a smart folder.
Right. This is an automatic, they call it an automatic playlist. So
it isn't that I want to play them necessarily. I just don't want to have to, you know, I don't play them in the order I get them.
No, but they'll show up in that playlist. So it'll be like it was in a folder, only it's now in a playlist. So you can go in and individually double-click on one of those songs and play it in by itself, songs. But in this case, it's an NPR news update. But the point is that you can do that from the recently added, from the automatic playlist that says, you know, all the songs that I've added over the past X days.
Okay.
And that could be one day.
Yeah. I think I've seen that.
You're right.
And there I'm posting a link on our link list from Microsoft on how to create that.
Oh, thank you.
There you go.
Thank you.
How's the weather up there in Lake George? You freezing your butt off?
And I'm on your Facebook page too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm so happy to have found you guys again.
Well, thank you.
I've been great up until 2 years ago.
What you got to do though is you got to tell your friends around up there that we're here on Jazz 90.1 and tell them to tune in.
I will certainly try. If your messenger bag was bigger, I'd buy it for my laptop and then I'd advertise you guys.
How big is your laptop?
17 inches wide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just tell a friend.
We'll do the canvas bag.
There you go. okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Cindy. Bye. Which brings me to the point of we do actually have a store, a brilliant store on the website. It's got its own tab. It's called Shop Brilliant. And you can buy many, many things. There are some sample things. Every time you refresh the page, you get a different set of samples. You can get mugs, and you can get clocks, and you can get messenger bags. You can get a teddy bear. You can get a pair of shorts. You can get a thong. You can get the Soundbites thong. And stickers.
And it's up to you whether you wear it face in or face out.
That's exactly right. And so, it's Steve. What were you expecting? Seriously, truthfully, what were you expecting?
Yeah, I forget sometimes. Yeah. I'm sorry.
So you can buy all of those things at the shop and proudly proclaim your love of all things Soundbites. And we do have a messenger bag, but I'll have to see if I can add a regular sized bag. Well, listen, we're going to take a break, and we need to because, let's get honest, it's been a long hour. If you're on the line, please stay on the line. If you're not on the line, well, give us a call. You know the numbers. It's in the 585 area code. It's 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Outside that 585 area code for you people in Newark and Queensbury and every place else, it's 1-800-790-0415. We will be right back here with the greatest computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, and as you know, we are proud, delighted, and honored. Proud, delighted, and honored to be right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1, bringing you not only jazz and all that other stuff, but Soundbites. So we'll be right back. You stay tuned. Don't get impatient, doggone it.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
America's longest-running computer show, Sound Bites, celebrating 20 years.
WGMC Greece, Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Making sure the air in your dream home is healthy for your family to breathe. Building a radon-resistant home is easy. Just ask your builder or go to epa.gov/radon.
A message from the US EPA.
Businesses benefit from underwriting Jazz 90.1. Not only do you reach about 20,000 listeners a week, that includes listeners who only listen to jazz. In addition to being beneficial, underwriting Jazz 90.1 is very affordable. To find out how your business can benefit from underwriting Jazz 90.1, call 966-2660. That's 966-2660.
As a college student, I'm making sure to get the H1N1 flu vaccine. You see, if you're my age, the threat of this year's flu season is very real because young adults are particularly vulnerable to serious complications from the H1N1 flu virus. That's why I'm urging people my age to get vaccinated. Vaccination is safe and is the most effective way to prevent the flu. Get the facts. Go to flu.gov. Together, we can all fight the flu.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Jazz 90.1 accepts vehicles. That's right. You can donate your unwanted vehicle to Jazz 90.1, have it picked up, and receive a tax deduction while we get cash to keep the jazz going strong on Jazz 90.1. If you would like to support Jazz 90.1 by donating your old vehicle, call 966-5299. That's 966-5299. Donating your old vehicle, another way to support Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
And I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 2 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. I know we got folks on the line, but I have got to tell you about this. Microsoft late Wednesday issued its second advisory of the last week, warning users that a 17-year-old bug in the kernel of all 32-bit versions of Windows could be used by hackers to hijack PCs. The vulnerability in the Windows Virtual DOS machine, or the VDM subsystem, was disclosed Tuesday by Google engineer Tavis Ormandy on the Full Disclosure Security mailing list. Coincidentally, Ormandy received credit for reporting the single vulnerability that Microsoft actually fixed this week. The VDM subsystem was added to Windows in July of 1993 in that release of Windows NT, the Windows first full 32-bit operating system. VDM allows Windows NT and later to run DOS and 16-bit Windows software. Yesterday's advisory spells out the affected software. Are you sitting down? All 32-bit editions of Windows, all of them, including Windows 7. 64-bit versions are not vulnerable to the attack. So if you're using a 32-bit version of Windows, you are vulnerable to this attack. You have been for 17 years. But now there's actually somebody who's actually got a thing for it, an actual exploit.
That's pretty much everyone is running 32-bit Windows, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Unless you're running 64-bit Windows, you're running 32-bit Windows. Now, Microsoft has known about this bug for more than 7 months, and they have not fixed it. They didn't
fix it in
any of that time, and they haven't fixed it yet. And the guy who knows the vulnerability just got sick of waiting for them. So their question to you, how safe do you feel knowing this vulnerability has been out there for 17 years, but now there's an exploit out about it and it's public knowledge? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll free at 1-800-790-0415, just like Steve did. Where are you calling from, Steve?
Pittsford.
Ah, and how are things in Pittsford today?
Not too bad. Sun's shining.
Exactly. What can we do for you?
I got a question about storage. I do a lot of video and audio editing, and I currently have 4 1-terabyte hard drives in RAID 5. And it seems like every month I'm having to buy a new hard drive because one of them dies. And so I was looking at possibly getting a Drobo.
I was just thinking, you need a Drobo.
They're really expensive, and I was wondering if there's any kind of an alternative.
Well, the really cool thing about Drobo, and we'll explain what Drobo is. Drobo is a chassis. It comes in 4-bay, 5-bay, and 8-bay versions. And you just stick raw hard drives into it. And it creates what it calls beyond RAID 5, where the big thing with RAID hard drives is you have to have identical sized drives. With a Drobo, you can mix and match any size drives you want. So the way they design it basically is you have a 4-bay Drobo, you stick 4 1-terabyte drives in it. When your RAID fills up, you pull a 1-terabyte out, put a 2-terabyte in. And when they make the 4-terabyte drives, you pull that out and stick the 4-terabyte in. So it's infinite expansion as long as they keep making bigger and bigger hard drives. The downside is it is a bit expensive. It's $500 for the empty 4-bay chassis. But when you look at the populated versions, they sell an 8-terabyte version for like $900. And that's about the price of other regular RAID 5 boxes, but that doesn't have that expansion capability of pulling that drive out and putting a new drive in. The 4-bay version can survive a single failure. So if one drive fails, none of your data is lost. And then the 8-bay version, you can set up for 2-drive failure. So if 2 drives fail at the same time, none of your data is lost. The eight bay version is $1,200 empty, so that's even more expensive.
But also, you lose a drive or two in that configuration for the backup data.
Right. It's the way it calculates is you get the total capacity of all of the drives minus the largest one. Because if the largest drive fails, then it has to be redundant too.
But it's not really that bad in the cost to compare to what it would cost you to replace all that data.
Right. And the cost of other high-end RAID chassis as well. The other really neat thing that the 8-bay Drobo Pro has is an iSCSI interface, which is it's SCSI over gigabit Ethernet, so it's really, really fast.
I was looking at getting the Pro, actually, for the iSCSI, but I don't know. It's like RAID is like a proven technology, and all these businesses use it, and then you got this new kid on the block, and I'm worried about the reliability. You know what I mean?
It has been field tested for years by a lot of pro photographers and videographers, and it's been working flawlessly. I read about it all the time on video and photo podcasts. Who is it? Pixel Core, who does a lot of video podcasts and video production for Hollywood movies. They talk about the dozens of Drobos they buy every week. In fact, they usually end up buying two Drobos, one for storage and one for backup of the first Drobo.
Yeah.
Hey, it's important to them. So, like you said, for the price that you pay, but you're getting the quality and the assurance that the stuff is going to be there even in lieu of a failure.
And when it fills up, you pull out the smallest drive and put in a bigger one.
Are there any real competitors to Drobo? I haven't really seen anything quite like it.
There's nothing that I've found that does that growth factor. Most RAID boxes, there are multi-bay RAID boxes, but it has to be all identical sized drives. And if you want to make it bigger, you have to replace all of the drives in the chassis.
Yep.
Okay. I guess I'll try to bite the bullet then and find that money somewhere.
There you go.
Yep.
Well, it's either pay now or pay later, you know?
Right.
Yeah, unfortunately.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, we carry the Drobo and Drobo Pro in our shop because we do a lot of work with video editors and photo editors on the Mac.
And you're going to put a link up to
we probably did before, but I can put it up again. They also have their Drobo Share, which connects the Drobo to your network as a NAS rather than connecting it to a single computer and then being shared from there.
That's kind of nice.
Which is pretty cool.
All right, our next caller is Scott. Where are you calling from, Scott?
Same guy.
Bon Vibra.
And I'm trying to decide whether I need to take this in for help or not, because I rebooted the Mac as Steve suggested, and then I turned the external hard drive back on, and I get the same result. It says error. Can't delete anything because of error code 50.
Maybe that something external, wrong with that drive.
Yeah, I was about to say that external drive may not be well. Does it have, by the way, a switch on it to make it read only?
Yeah, generally.
Not that I know of. In fact, to turn it off and on, there's a big blue button up in front of it near the top. It's not even a regular off and on switch.
Right.
Yeah, the big blue button is the on off switch.
I have a C drive too, and it doesn't have the a lock mechanism either.
Did you try the verify disk button in Disk Utility as well?
It's grayed out.
That's bad.
I thought.
You should always be able to verify the disk. There may be something wrong.
I can verify disk and repair disk, but verify disk permission to the grayed out.
That's really weird. Does the power supply make a buzzing noise? Put your ear right down on the power supply. There have been issues with LaCie power supplies, especially on their D2 line.
I haven't heard it.
Yeah, if the power supply starts to fail, it makes sort of a hissing, buzzing noise, and it's not putting enough power to the drive, so it never comes completely ready, so you can't do anything with it.
Oh.
So if you may have another power supply to test, that could be something to try, too.
Right. Well, I can try that. It's a good idea to try that one. Can't think of anything else, though.
Beyond that, it's probably time to take it in.
There you go.
Yeah, and the drive itself may be failing.
Okay. All right. He has a second external hard drive, which I'm able to do things with. And so I'll work with that one as well.
So that tells you it's not the computer. It's probably that drive. So if you can try a different power supply with that drive or a different cable with that drive. If it has multiple interfaces, USB and FireWire, try one of the other interfaces and see what happens.
All right.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Listen, okay. Listen, Bunny, in the interest of marital harmony, yeah. Tell your wife you're rushing it out right now. Bundle it up in the car, right. Take it out, drop it off at your dealer, and then go have a beer. I mean,
that's a great idea.
All right, thanks.
Thanks.
Have fun. We do not recommend the consumption of alcohol under any circumstances, certainly not while you're working on a computer. That would be, well, bad.
Yeah, you spill it in there and it makes things worse.
Exactly. Exactly. And then, of course, you actually come to the point where somewhere in your alcohol-besotted brain, it sounds acceptable to say, oh, what the heck, let's just try this. Which is probably never anything you really want to be doing with a computer. All right, our next...
Hey, look what I can do.
Hey, guys, watch this. Our next caller is Bill. Where are you calling from, Bill?
Irondequoit.
Irondequoit, what can we do for you?
I have a device I purchased that allows you remote access. It has its own IP address, and you plug it into your network. And then my trouble is I can communicate with the device on my network, but like if I'm at home, this thing is installed at my office, I'm at home and try to reach it in my office. I can't get through. I'm assuming it's my router, but I'm not positive.
Generally, you have to configure your router to allow traffic from the external public address
open the ports
to the internal private address of that computer.
Many of these devices come with an arcane thing we used to call the manual, and that may now be a file on a CD somewhere, and that will tell you what ports need to be open in the firewall generally.
For remote control, it's usually port 5900.
Right, but you want to make sure of that in the manual. And then, port needs to be open before you'll be able to get to it.
And then you have to find the manual for the router to figure out how to open that port.
Right. So we got a Linksys, 8-port BEFSR 81, I think it is. And I thought we had the right ports open. We were wondering if it possibly had something to do. We get our internet at the office through, Choice One Communications, I believe.
Yeah, they may well be blocking all of those ports as well. You may need to call them and say you need access through that port.
Because there are a lot of exploits running around the internet looking for open ports to attack ports. Yeah, one of the
what should we do tonight, Brain?
Right, same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world. One of the things that you can do is there are web-based programs. Go to my PC and log me in. Log me in has a free component for personal use.
And it works good.
And it works really cool. And instead of one computer trying to connect to another computer, they both make outbound connections to the central server, which then you don't have to configure any routers. It just makes an outbound connection and at each end, and they can easily talk to each other.
Use GoToMyPC already, and that works fine. What was the other one?
Log me in.
Huh?
Yeah,
yep.
That's a freebie.
Oh, okay. Yep. I like free.
Now, I'll be the voice of reason on these things.
Yeah.
The danger is
you don't know who either of these people are, the Log Me In people or the GoToMyPC people.
Right.
So I would be very careful about doing anything over that connection that was proprietary or business secret.
Yeah. They both say they're encrypted at your end, but
right.
You never know. And the other thing, too, is that if you can connect in, theoretically, anyone can connect in. And the encryption and the username and passwords prevent that, attempt to prevent that, but it is theoretically possible.
But only on that port, correct?
Yeah, but that port's
only the open port.
But that's common knowledge.
Yeah. Password protected,
So then you got to make sure you have a good, strong password that can't be broken easily.
Yeah. Sure. Okay.
Not 12345.
Yeah, Twitter published a list of the most common passwords.
That's amazing. I have the same password on my luggage.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. I'll try this the port 5900 thing because I'm not sure we have the right one open.
Okay.
And just log me in.
Let us know.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, 5900 is the standard port for VNC, virtual network computing, and that's what most of these screen sharing or remote control programs use.
Right.
But because everyone knows that, maybe this boxy bot uses a different port.
Certainly a possibility.
Because it can use any port it wants.
Yeah. Since I have Linux on my desktop and Linux on my PC, I tend to use X forwarding.
Yep.
And do stuff off my desktop just directly running the program actually on my machine at work and just seeing the screen on my screen. All right, our next caller is Howard. Where are you calling from, Howard?
Penfield, New York.
Ah.
A good place for you?
Yes, and a better place for me.
Good. What? I have an old IBM ThinkPad T40.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it boots up and sometimes it doesn't. Is there any... It might be a hardware problem.
When it doesn't boot, how far does it get?
Well, sometimes it gets all the way up, and then sometimes it just says that it's on and nothing happens. And you wait a few minutes and try it again, and it'll start up again sometimes. What else?
So the power is coming on, the fans are coming on.
Yeah,
does the monitor light up?
I can't hear. I think can you hear the hard drive? Maybe I speculated
sometimes,
that maybe it didn't start up because the hard drive.
Yeah,
it?
Sometimes the fans are too loud to hear the hard drive, but sometimes you can hear them both. If you take the cover off and you can see a hard fan spinning and stick your ear around and see where the noise is.
Or you can put your hand on top of the drive and feel it spinning up.
Okay,
if you
have to get the cover off?
Depends on the model computer.
Yeah, if you turn it on and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And you leave it on for a while and then reboot, does it work every time?
No. The whole thing is very intermittent, which is a hard thing to sort through.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You definitely have a hardware problem. There's no question of that.
Take it to a professional, have them test it out.
And depending on how old the computer is, it may not be worth repairing.
Well, an IBM ThinkPad T40 is probably 5-6 years old.
Oh, laptop? That makes it even more expensive to repair.
Yeah, I know. That's right. It is a lot.
And, you usually can't take the cover off of a laptop either.
Nope.
If it were a desktop, I was kind of, I built desktops, well assembled them.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think, Howard, we need to understand that sometimes the best thing for everyone is a decent burial and moving on.
A decent burial.
Nice.
And moving on. That ThinkPad T40 may be, at this point, an ex-parent.
Do you propose cremation or are there better ways?
I personally believe using them for skeet, but that's just me.
A Vulcan minigun.
I like tossing them out and just tossing them out there and blowing them out of the sky. But that's just me. I don't, everybody's different.
Okay, well, maybe I'll take it apart and smash it a little and see what happens.
There you go. Have fun.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, all of you. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve, next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Helping you with your computer questions for over 20 years. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
This is station manager Rob Linton. Do you have a comment or suggestion for Jazz 90.1? Call our feedback phone today at 966-2407. That's 966-2407. Be heard at Jazz 90.1.
Hi, I'm Michelle Obama. The images from Haiti are heartbreaking. Homes, hospitals, and schools destroyed. Families searching for loved ones, parents trying to feed their children. We can help the American Red Cross as it delivers the food, water, and medicine that can save lives. The people of Haiti are struggling to survive. Please visit redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to help today. Brought to you by the American Red Cross and the Ad Council.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Greece Athena High School's Music and Drama Department, presenting Guys and Dolls, January 29th, 30th, and February 5th and 6th at 8 p.m., and January 31st at 2 p.m. at the Athena Performing Arts Center in Greece. Guys and Dolls follows the comic exploits of gambler Nathan Detroit, his long-suffering fiancée Miss Adelaide, and Nathan's famous floating craps game. Tickets are available at Area Wegmans and at the door.
When you like the music you hear on Jazz 90.1, you want it to continue to be there for you the next time you tune in. And that's exactly what happens when listeners become members of Jazz 90.1. Membership ensures that Jazz 90.1 can continue to bring you the jazz you love. You might even call membership a kind of music insurance. So if you enjoy the music on Jazz 90.1, make it a policy to become a member or renew your membership by calling 966-5299. Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Havana Mo's, located at 125 East Avenue in the East End. One of the only legal smoking bars in the city, Havana Mo's features the East End Jazz Boys live every Saturday night from 9:30 to 2 a.m. For more information, you can call 325-1030.
Hey, this is Derek Lucas, host of The Spectrum. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray. we gotta find that old superhero theme.
Exactly.
you guys are blowing me out.
All right, and at 23 minutes after the hour, you're listening to sound.
See, that's the problem. We have to go back to the jazz station.
This is a jazz station.
Smooth.
This is
sound bites on jazz.
It's sound bites here on Jazz 90.1, and we'll be spinning the platters for you all night long. And that's the way they talk here. We are like, okay, it's a computer show, and we got to do this. And that's the problem. That's where the problem lies. We need more tranquilizers before we do this show.
We are not soft-spoken.
We are not soft-spoken. All right, our next caller is John from Hilton, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hi, long-time listener and member of the show.
That's what we like to hear. Thank you so much.
I have two quick questions and a comment. Would my copy, and I bought it, of Office 2000 work with the 64-bit Windows 7, or would there be a problem with that?
Well, yes, it would work, and there would be a problem.
Yes to both. It will certainly work. One of the problems with 64-bit operating systems is if you have any 32-bit components, The CPU itself does a context switch every time it goes from a 64-bit to a 32-bit system and back again. So running a mixed environment means it runs much slower, and the CPU has to do a whole lot more and therefore runs much hotter than if you ran a full 64-bit system.
Okay. Well, I kind of thought it would be something like that.
Yes.
So I downloaded Ubuntu last week and started playing with it. And I was wondering if OpenOffice would convert my old documents, and it would work with Microsoft documents that were sent to me through email and so forth?
Yes, 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 and yes. I use OpenOffice 3.0 or 3.0, whatever the latest one is. I use OpenOffice. And at work, I'm on Linux, but it runs just the same in Windows. And when people send me Excel spreadsheets and PowerPoint presentations and documents, no matter what version of Windows they were from, I can open them, I can use them, I can save them, I can send them back. Nobody ever knows I'm not on Windows. Every once in a while, the font is a problem if I haven't loaded that font. But beyond,
which is the same with any PC. If someone uses a font on their PC that you don't have on your PC, it doesn't look right.
Right. But beyond that, no, absolutely not.
Well, it sounds like the way to go.
Yeah, it's a great product. And it's free. How can you go wrong? I mean,
yeah.
You try it. If you decide it's not for you, you haven't lost any money, just a little bit of time.
Right. And my comment is Hippo.com has a update checker, which is great. It finds programs that need to be upgraded, and also drivers. It found 3 drivers for my video card, and when I used them, it improved my video significantly. So I hear a lot of questions about driver updates and so forth. So that's a free program that I found works really well.
You mean cool. File Hippo?
Yeah, File Hippo.
Yeah, okay. Yep. Hippo.com is not someplace I would willingly send people, I think.
Oh, really? Well, I've had no problems because that's where I've downloaded.
Well, File Hippo is.
Yeah, Hippo is good.
But Hippo.com is someplace you don't want to go.
Yeah, don't go to Hippo.com.
Go to FileHippo.com.
Right.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah,
File Hippo is. Yeah. That's where you're talking about. Yeah, you're right.
Version Tracker Pro has a similar service where you give them your list of stuff you have and it will notify you if there's an update and automatically download it for you.
Yep. Excellent.
Yep.
Excellent tip there. Thanks, John.
All right. Bye-bye.
And Microsoft has done something to help stem the tide of people leaving the Office suite is they have their new home and student version. You get 3 licenses for $150, which is $50 a license. It's still more than Open Office, but
by $50.
By $50, yeah. But if you're used to Microsoft Office and don't want to have to learn something new, that's a good way to be able to get into it also.
All right, our next caller, is this Jamie?
That's true. This is Jamie speaking.
Jamie, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from beautiful Prince Edward County, Ontario.
Ah, nice. Ontario, Canada?
That's true.
Nice!
I'm in actually in an island in Lake Ontario, and you either take a ferry boat or a bridge to access Prince Edward County. So we're really in a beautiful
spot
here.
Nice.
When you thaw out, we'll come up and visit.
That would be lovely.
Get your local radio, get your local public radio station ready. We'll come up and do a broadcast from there.
Lovely.
And say hi to your premier, Robert Giz.
And there you go.
Hey, watch it.
Google. It's Google. Man, I tell you what. Steve is all over Google, so he can pretend he actually knows something about everything.
He's making us sound good, though.
True, he is. It's true.
Okay.
Well, what can we do for you up there in Prince Edward County?
I'll cut to my issue. It just started on Friday evening, and I began to experience a problem in Internet Explorer. I'm in 8 and I'm using XP. And what happens is I can go into most websites without difficulty. And then all of a sudden I'll go into a website, say the one for Via Rail was an example, or the local weather was another example. And when I go into that site, I get a tab popping up with a message something like, this tab has been recovered. And it'll come up twice. And then I will lose the site, and I'll oftentimes get the message saying, do I want to send an error message to Windows type of thing.
Yeah,
and I can go back to my homepage, and I can go back to many other websites. How I've dealt with this, I've done some research on it, and I've tried going in without add-ons. That didn't work.
This is actually a feature of Internet Explorer 8. The new Safari 4 has that feature, too.
Mm-hmm.
If something on that page, usually Flash, crashes, it will try to recover the page and reload whatever crashed.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the page you're trying to go to is just crashing too often, and it gives up.
Yeah. It says it will only try twice, and then it will stop to prevent a loop error.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had that issue. As a matter of fact, I've got it with a client's machine right now, just trying to go to the Microsoft page for updates.
I have it too. I can't go to Microsoft.
Yeah.
All right, here's what you want to try. There's a couple of things you can try.
Okay.
First, you can try resetting your Internet Explorer settings.
I did that.
Okay. Did you try running Internet Explorer without any add-ons?
Yes, I did.
Did you try using Firefox?
No.
Aha. Let me suggest, I know that Internet Explorer is the thing that comes with your machine.
Firefox does work.
But Firefox is exceptional. Chrome is getting way better. My suggestion is you give the latest version of Firefox a try at getfirefox.com. Download the latest version. When it sets up, it will ask if you want to import all of your Internet Explorer bookmarks.
Mm-hmm.
You say yes.
I understand.
And then it'll work just like Internet Explorer. You can run either one. You can run them both simultaneously if you've got enough RAM.
Okay.
So it can't hurt to try it and see if you have better luck with that.
A lot of times what it may be is something got messed up in your cache, so clearing your cache and history can help. But sometimes it's just something the other end did. They made a change to their website at the other end, and it doesn't work on some computers, and we'll give it a few days, and it will start working again. Because I just went to Via Rail on my Safari, and it worked okay.
Yeah, I also noted that there were some updates that came through from Microsoft just around the same time that this started to happen.
Yeah,
and
that could also do it, too.
Yeah, because this is just last Friday this began. Well, someone else told me to try Firefox, and I'll certainly do that. One of the comments I saw on the Internet was, why would anyone use Internet Explorer?
Well, yes. We're not fans of Internet Explorer here on this show. It's not a bad product. Now, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it is also the number one target for viruses and infections because so many people have it.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason you really need it is to get the updates automatically from Microsoft.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the only time to use it.
There are very few sites that will work only with Internet Explorer. And, of course,
Laser
Microsoft's update is one of them.
Naturally.
I have come to use Google Chrome even more often than Firefox, but that's I'm just playing with it, testing it, and learning it. But Firefox is an exceptional product, and it certainly, for me, has always done everything that I would need an operating system, a web browser to do.
And,
so I would suggest give it a try.
And another suggestion I would suggest, is, I don't know what you use for email.
Mm-hmm.
It just came out with Thunderbird 3.0 for handling your email, and it is really cool. Check it out.
Okay, well, I really appreciate you. I'm just jotting all this down as we speak. This is very helpful, and I'm also noting that we don't at this time have a remedy for what's starting to occur. You know, the only way I can get onto some of the sites, if I run it in compatibility mode.
Yeah, that should that might also work.
And that was the other thing that happened with Internet Explorer 8, that Microsoft changed some of the stuff inside of IE 8 to make some things better, which made it not work at all with other things.
Yeah.
So they put this compatibility mode in it to turn off all the new features. Which is why a lot of people have stayed with IE 7, but it has its own problems, too.
Right. So I would suggest Firefox, give it a try. Let us know.
I'm going to.
And Jamie,
really
do us one other favor.
You have a standing invitation up here to Wine Country at Prince Edward County.
Thank you so
Canada.
Much. Sure. Notice he doesn't tell us where he lives.
It's an island. We'll find him.
How big can it be? Can you see water from where you are?
I'm about 2 minutes from the water here.
There you go.
But you need to do us one favor, and that's just tell a few friends about us and tell them to tune in to Soundbites here at Jazz 90.1.
The whole island listening.
Get the whole island listening. I'll get it posted down at Computech here. And
there you go.
Appreciate it.
All the locals will be listening.
There you go.
Thanks a lot, gentlemen. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Jamie.
Yeah, it's the 104th largest island in the world and the 23rd largest island in Canada.
Nice. Prince Edward County, which is apparently the island. It's an island. Probably Prince Edward County Island in Ontario, Canada. We're getting calls from Canada again. Prince Edward County. Rob Linton is here, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Linton!
Wave to the camera.
How you guys doing?
We're doing
great. It can't be a Saturday without coming up here and harassing you in some form.
We appreciate that. You just came for the donuts. We know this. You're coming back next week. I know you are.
We'll see. Maybe if you're lucky.
How's the delight?
Donuts Delight's back. I remember that, yeah. Well,
and we'll be having those donuts next week.
Oh, I'll definitely be here for
some
Donuts
Delight. See, we knew that was coming.
You guys
came a week early. If you folks, he brought guests with him, or else these are people just walked in off the
street. Well, actually, this is somebody, he was a former teacher of mine, Rick Gage. He was my broadcasting teacher out at Wamoco in Spencerport when I was in high school.
So disappointed. Okay, one thing you should know as a broadcasting teacher, you need to speak into the mic if you're going to.
But yeah, he taught me everything I know about broadcasting.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Was it a 12-minute course?
Oh, stop.
Oh, well, we've got him here. You know what?
It's everything he knows.
Oh, wait a minute.
The teacher knows. Yeah.
You know what Monday is?
Oh, Lord.
What is Monday?
It's a certain young man's birthday.
Oh, how
happy
exciting.
Happy birthday to you.
Hey.
Happy birthday to you.
Hey, happy birthday,
I got socks older than you.
Happy birthday to you.
We're not celebrating my birthday. Here's why.
Oh, please. Are you one of these people who's like, oh, I'm old now?
I am because I'm turning 30.
Oh, when?
Yeah.
I'd give your right leg to turn 30 again.
Yeah, mine too.
I actually
I'm double
find myself,
that plus.
How old was I when I started working with you guys at the other place?
9.
And you needed that step stool. If you need it back, I can
to
return
see up
it
over
to
the
you.
Board. Yep. That's right. I was.
And it was great listening to him. 2 minutes to back on the air. We thought it was Mickey Mouse in the back room. It's 2 minutes.
Have you started shaving yet?
Oh, stop. Well, because I was with you. How long have I been with you guys now?
8 years.
Got to be 8 years.
Has it been eight years?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Yeah.
So, yeah, I would have been. Well, yeah, because I remember 22, 23 years old, I think, at the time.
Yeah, because when we started with on the other channel, it was 7 years. So we were 7 years there.
We know you were already drinking by then. Whether it was legally or not, I don't know. But we know you were drinking.
Not well at the station, though, of course.
No, never. No, I would never say that. No.
Remember, we are on a school district radio station.
And nobody drinks here.
That's right.
Ever. We're like camels. We come in, even if it's like a 5-hour shift, we don't even take water. We just come in.
That's right.
And we don't drink a single thing ever until we actually leave.
That's right. Absolutely. Show sounds good today, though, boys. We'll keep you for another week. You know what I mean?
Thanks. I appreciate that. No problem. Well done, Wesley. I'll probably kill you tomorrow.
So tomorrow, I want to remind folks that are listening while we're on the air.
This is important.
This is very important. Otto Bruno, the host of the Sunday Music Festa every Sunday from noon to 3, is celebrating 10 years tomorrow.
Yep,
and we're going to have a whole big shindig. We have got a party starting from 11 a.m. till 3. Otto will actually broadcast his show live here in front of a live studio audience, which will be really fun. We're going to have catered food from Palermo's. We are going to have, and this is the best part, cake, cookies, all kinds of stuff from Leo's Elite Bakery. So anybody who wants to stop by, advance tickets are gone. They're taken already. As space permits, we will allow walk-ups as well. So if you want to stop by and try to come in, please feel
free
to do so.
And what does the ticket cost?
The tickets for the event are $10 per person, and you get all that
food.
That's
cheap at half the price.
That is, absolutely. And we're going to have, it really is going to be a good time. And anybody who's ever listened to Otto Bruno, knows that he puts on a really good show.
He really does.
You know, I just saw Otto this past week.
Yeah.
Just came to realize he still needs a crossing guard to cross the street.
Does he?
Yeah, I was over coming back from Donuts Delight, and there he is crossing.
Yeah.
Crossing lady wouldn't let him cross without her first stepping out in the road.
Sure. Well, we all know.
He was trying to blame it on his son, but that didn't happen.
He's got jazz in his head all day long, and he doesn't, not really in the real world.
It's going to be a good time, and if you can't come, do tune in, because, again, the show will be broadcast live from 12 to 3, and it's actually going to be his last 3-hour program. Starting next weekend, he's backing down to 2. So this will be kind of a special occasion, more ways than one. It's going to be his last 3-hour version of the Sunday Music Festa. And the first weekend of February goes down to 2.
How cool is all
of
that?
It is going to be cool. It's going to be a lot of fun. For more info, we want to point people to the website, by the way, jazz901.org.
That's jazz901.org.
You're so much louder than I am. You know what I'm saying? Like,
we were just talking. Did you miss that? You were probably like walking around and talking to these people.
Yes.
We were talking about the fact that we figured out what's wrong with all of this, why we're so loud on this station.
Why is that?
Because on the jazz station, everybody talks like this.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, we'll be spinning the platters from now until 4 p.m. And then we come in and we're like, all right, it's time for computer stuff. And that's where the problem lies.
That is. And actually, I was talking to Dave. It's very hard to find a happy medium at this place because I do have DJs that talk like this.
See? You know? And that's just it.
Exactly.
That's just it.
But
and now Thelonious Monk.
It's taking a little plane, but I'm getting pretty well.
It's radio as it should be, live. You know what I mean? No computers here.
Without a net.
That's right,
without a net. Well, you guys have to take a break, right?
Do we?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you want us to do that?
I do.
If it makes you happy, we'll do it. Just for you, Rob.
Have fun.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, just for Rob Linton, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick. Yeah, see, I don't get to say it often enough. I have to say it over and over again. Me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
I have a dream today.
Hi, I'm Isaac Newton Ferris, Jr., President and CEO of the King Center in Atlanta. My Uncle Martin's words still inspire us today, but his vision cannot be fully realized unless we join together to strengthen our communities through everyday acts of service to others. Honor his memory this King Day and throughout the year by volunteering in your community. Make it a day on, not a day off. Go to mlkday.gov and get involved.
Every day, we make sure we get things done to keep ourselves on track, to live the way we want to live. And every day, we make choices, large and small, that reflect who we are, from the clothes we buy to the car we drive to where we choose to live. If you enjoy Jazz 90.1, make the choice to become a member. And once a year, renew that membership. See how it feels. It just might be one more small but important choice you make to live the way you want to with Jazz 90.1. America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, the answer to your computer questions on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Otto Bruno, inviting you to a musical party this and every week on the Sunday Music Festa and the Otto Show. Our guests may include Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett, Bing Crosby, Rosemary Clooney, or who knows, maybe even Count Basie or Joe Williams, Bobby Darin. Lady Ella herself could stop by. It's a musical celebration every week on the Sunday Music Festa and the Otto Show. That's Sundays at 12 noon right here on Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Charles Benoit, host of The Smart Set. Friends, we get dozens of requests on The Smart Set, but we come back each week anyway, broadcasting live from Rochester's hottest night spots. The Cowtail Room, the Foaming Bulldog, the Bar None Saloon, the Blue Buddha Lounge. Anywhere the best bands in the biz are belting out the tunes Dance Mad Bob's Love. And what bands? The Royal Crown Review, Lee Presson and the Nails, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, Lav A. Smith and our Red Hot Skillet Lickers. And of course, His Highness of Heidi Ho, Rochester's own Cab Calloway. Experience it all in the relative safety and comfort of your own home every Saturday night from 5 to 6 right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
What do you love about the radio?
I just like the variety because it can put you in different moods and you don't know what to expect. I think my favorite part is you don't know what to expect. So I always get excited when a song is over because I'm excited for what the next song is going to be.
New artist Caitlin Crosby loves radio.
Still have my heart. You still have my heart.
Discover Caitlin Crosby and other new artists where it's good to be heard. Radio. Always something new and fresh, always free. Go to RadioHeardHere.com.
Hello, this is Joelle Van Buren. Join me weekday mornings from 6 till 10 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
No, I like this music. I'm listening to
okay.
it. All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
What are you hitting me for?
I figured if he wasn't going to talk, you should.
I was waiting for him.
No, I was waiting for the rest of the music.
Because you said you liked the music. He was waiting for it.
I was waiting for it. I was listening to the rest of the music.
All right.
It's only a 30-second spot.
That's true. Our next caller is Paul. Where are you calling from, Paul?
Henrietta. How are you?
Excellent. How are you?
Very good. Beautiful day, huh?
It is a lovely day in my neighborhood.
First, the comment. Open office. I've used it at home for a few years, and it's awesome. And my daughter, I downloaded it for her. She's in college, and she does her papers on it. It works out great. In fact, I like it so much, I suggested, I work for a hospital system here in town, that they migrate over to it, and I got a response back from IT. Something about the Outlook client wouldn't be compatible? Or
right. If you're using Outlook, Outlook requires Office to run. Because Microsoft wrote both programs, and they really want you to use.
Oh, right.
The Exchange server really requires Outlook.
Right, the Exchange server requires Outlook, and Outlook requires Office.
Yeah.
That's how they keep you going. But for everybody else, you know what? Honestly, I don't know why people. I'm not saying Microsoft Office is a bad product. I used it for many years, but OpenOffice solves 99% of everybody's problems, and it's free.
Awesome.
You know, why wouldn't you want to save the money? And it runs on Windows, it runs on the Mac, it runs on Linux, and you can share documents with everybody on Office, and it's Microsoft Office. Terrific product. I'm sorry, what's your question?
I had it running on a Linux machine for a while. It did good. Now, here's my question. I bought a Toshiba laptop in the last year. It was such a good deal, probably somewhat because they were getting ready for Windows 7. It has Vista.
Yeah, yeah.
It, is to just pretty much I do some word processing and internet. What would is it worth the upgrade is what I'm trying to spit out here for the 7 to go from the Vista. I didn't really want the Vista, but then it was such a good deal, you know, and I've gotten used to Vista. So what do you think?
I'd sit there. Well, then if you like Vista, you'll love 7 even more.
Well, let's start with how much RAM you have and the speed of your machine.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a really basic entry level one, only two of RAM, which I do intend to upgrade to at least 3.
Right.
And it's got the Celeron, so it's a slow poke, but I mean, it's doing what I need to do. The only thing I find a real pain with the Vista is that, you know, the security pop up or whatever you call it. Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that?
Yeah. I don't know that a slower Celeron machine is a good idea for Windows 7.
No.
Certainly, Vista runs fine on it, XP runs fine on it, Linux it'd fly, but not Windows 7. It'll run, certainly, but it'll be a little slower. If all you're doing is word processing and web surfing, and you're not like playing a lot of Flash games and stuff like that, it should be okay.
No, it's doing fine. I think I might do the Linux on it because I had this old desktop. I think I called a year ago. And I didn't have an operating system. I did the Ubuntu.
Yeah.
And, man, I really like that thing. That ran fast. Maybe I'll try that.
I'll tell you what. Like I've said before, I have a netbook. And it's a fairly decent processor. I got 2 gigs of RAM on it, yada, yada, yada. And it ran Windows 7. It ran XP. It ran XP well. It ran Windows 7 okay. But it really kicks butt under Linux, and it's just fast and clean and easy. I keep telling people all the time, if you've got an older system and you want to get more life out of that system, give Linux a shot. And particularly if what you do is word processing and internet, it doesn't matter what your operating system is.
Your preference right now? Are you using Ubuntu or are you using something else?
No, I'm still using Ubuntu. I'm using 9.04, which is the latest one. And it finds all of my hardware, and I've got 20-odd thousand programs available to me free. You click the applications button, and then you click on add, remove, or the Ubuntu store nowadays, they call it, I think. The Ubuntu Software Center, that's it, the Ubuntu Software Center. And you get, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of free programs. So, if you've used it before and you like Linux to begin with, you know you like it.
Yeah, it was fine. It was cool.
Yeah, and really you're not doing anything high-end that absolutely requires a Windows-based machine. Give it a shot. Go play with it. Get some extra life out of that laptop.
Thanks, guys.
Have fun. Now remember to back up all your documents first. All right, that's the big thing. Always remember to back up your documents because if you install Linux on the machine, you can install it as a dual boot. That's certainly a possibility. But you can also install it as the only operating system. And if you install it as the only operating system, it will wipe out everything that's already there. So you want to make definite sure that you've got your documents backed up before you do anything else. All right, our next caller, Melissa. Where are you calling from, Melissa?
Rochester.
Rochester, New York. What can we do for you?
I would like to know the address of the fellow who has the computer shop.
Well, we have two. One is Dave Enright, and his shop is at
70 Empire Boulevard, just a few doors down from Donuts Delight.
There you go.
Oh,
and the other
70
is
Empire.
Yep, 70 Empire Boulevard.
Yes,
and the other is Steve Ray, and his shop is at
that's Mac Ave at 7716 Victor Menden Road, which is Route 251 in Victor.
I see. Okay, that's all I wanted to know.
Well, that's all you get then.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you, Melissa.
Goodbye.
She had simple needs, and we're simple people, so we were able to meet those needs.
And you might as well plug your College of Business while you're at it.
I am.
When's the next term start?
Administrator. We're in the middle of the term. We're halfway because we're on the quarter system right now. So it's 11 intense weeks, and along about week 10, you want to tread very softly in the corridors. It's a lot of students. I'm the systems administrator for the E. Philip Saunders College of Business at the Rochester Institute of Technology. And great people, nice place to work. I really enjoy it. Of course, I also run Ask Nick at AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
That's all right. That's okay. And you can join that. It's only $15 a year. I don't know why you wouldn't. And I do tips and tricks and rants and raging questions and answers. The crowd loves it. So that's what we do, and that's our plug. So that's our story. But you know, I talk to people a lot about soundbites. I was relating the story earlier of the guy who listens to Polka Bandstand every week, and then didn't know we were on after it,
yeah.
Even though they do announce it on their show. And it's one of the things that happens when you move from station to station. People finding you gets to be difficult, although we have it on our website and, mm-hmm. and we're here all the time. So we would love it if you folks would let other people know.
Just tell one friend and tell them to tell another friend.
And in fact, if you're reluctant, let us say, to get out there and actually talk to people individually, why, you can go to the Soundbites shop and buy a cap and wear the Soundbites cap or the Soundbites t-shirt.
Just for a little FYI for folks that they might want to put it down in the calendar, the Soho show is coming up. I believe I'm not sure exactly on the date, but the three of us will be there at the Soho show.
April 7th right. At the Rochester Riverside Convention Center.
There you go. April 7th, we will be
and
there.
And what day is that?
Wednesday.
Wednesday, April 7th.
We will be there for the full day at that show, so if you folks get a chance, you're going to want to come on down, say hello, and who knows, maybe we'll have some tchotchkes or something to give away, or you know, and but just to come down and ask your computer questions right there.
Or just chit-chat with
us.
Yeah. We like it when people just come down and talk. We
yeah.
don't necessarily need to be answering their questions yeah. One after the other. But yeah, come on down.
For a good day, you know, we'll be there and check out some of the other businesses and all that.
Especially as the small office, home office is getting bigger and bigger with more and more people basically starting their own businesses. This is becoming a bigger show every year.
Well, that's the thing. Remember, I'm going back a number of years.
Well, you're old.
Yeah, yes, I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's almost 2 billion seconds old.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel every one of them.
I'm only 1.8 plus billion seconds old.
But no, I remember when that show used to be on both floors at the convention center.
Yeah, it used to be gigantic. The industry has changed significantly.
Yeah.
I mean, how many expos did there used to be? There was PC Expo East and West and the Silicon Valley Expo and yeah. half a dozen others, and now the only one that's left is the one that that happens in Vegas every year, PC yeah. Expo.
And I used to go to Comdex.
Yes, I mean.
Yeah, which just
I used to go to Comdex every spring.
And Comdex originally had two. There were two
Atlanta,
PC Expos and two Comdexes.
Spring was in Atlanta, and the fall was in Vegas. I never got to go to Vegas.
And actually, they also used to have one in England for Europe. And mm-hmm. all of that's consolidated nowadays. Nobody, you know, the industry has changed. The world has changed. In these parlous economic times, yada, yada, yada. But the Soho show is getting bigger. We're delighted to hear that, and we'd love to see you there April 7th. Wednesday, April 7th, we'll be there.
That should be
with bells on. And if it's cold, a shirt.
We could do that, too.
Because it's only April in Rochester.
Oh, that's springtime, then.
Springtime in Rochester is still pretty cold. All right, that's it. Luckily, the music has begun, which saves you from listening to me sing anymore. We are done for another week. We want to thank everybody who called in. We want to apologize to those to whom we did not get. You'll need to call in earlier and more often. And if you didn't call in, well, that's your loss. You could have, and we would have been delighted to talk to you. But we'll certainly be here next week once again to take your calls. So call in and... Remember, if you've got an error message, write it down. I cannot emphasize that enough. It's harder to help you when you don't write it down. So for Dave Enright, Steve Ray, I'm Nick Francesco. I want to thank you all for listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. And we will be back next week right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Soundbites, celebrating 20 years.